Hi, hello, and welcome to today's episode of Margaritas with Margarita Cheng, CFP Pro. I'm so happy to be here. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show and the founder of Incandescent TV and Incandescent Radio. And every 15 minutes, we bring you 15 minutes of incredible insight from industry experts. And today's guest is no exception. You're going to meet Jack Halpern, CEO of MyElder.com. He's going to talk with Rita about working together to protect the elders we love. And as they said before we went live, they could talk about this for hours and hours. Just a little bit of background, Jack has almost 50 years of experience in the elder care industry. He works nationwide to train elder advocates, educate community groups, and bring trade associations up to speed on elder care. He's also appeared as an expert witness on Court TV and as a commentator on network and cable TV. We know you are going to learn a ton from Jack. So welcome to Margaritas with Margarita. Take it away, Miss Rita.
Thank you so much for the intro, Jack. Thank you so much for being here. We are so excited, as you know. This is a topic that is so important. So let's just get to it. So I know that you definitely have passion about protecting our elders. How did you get into this business?
A long time ago when I started actually looking for a job, and somebody said, well, why don't you come work in a nursing home, which I thought was absolutely crazy. Because I was only 24 years old. And I said, well, I'm going to work with the elderly. And, but anyway, I had an epiphany at that time. I said, you know something, it was meant for me to work with the elderly. I started to, and I had my lunch hour, I would spend time with the elderly to find out from them about their history. You have to remember, when I started, most of these people, especially the men, had fought in World War II. So their experiences were very exciting. But more than that, I decided that I wanted to know, how do you want to be treated? I mean, you're in a nursing home. So what's important for you in how we treat you? And they told me. And so I moved on, I got myself a master's degree and moved along. Eventually I became an administrator of a facility and always ran my facilities according to the needs of the elderly. And here I am. We started my elder to do the same thing, to help the elderly. And here we are. So, that's it.
Now, we all know that people want to age in place. They want to age in their homes and receive care on their terms. Sure. What is the best way to make that happen?
Well, there are a number of things that they need to have to do that. They certainly have to develop a support network. They should join groups that speak about aging in place. They should make sure to have their legal paperwork, you know, like power of attorney, healthcare proxies, DNRs. They should make social connections that can help them during this period. They should learn basic technology like smartphones. You always hear from the elderly, I'm not technologically, you know, I hate computers, but if you're going to survive aging in place, you better learn some basics. You should learn about smartphones, computers, iPads, and certainly applications like Zoom, email, food delivery, package delivery, and certainly apps like GetSage that can help them with various things that they need. They should make sure that their home will accommodate their future needs. So these are, you know, just some. I mean, I could go again on and on, but if you're going to age in place, you have to be equipped for any type of situation, because at that age, things change very rapidly.
Absolutely. I love this. When I think about my experience with my parents, you know, at the time I was 32 years old. That's really young. And I nudged my parents to plan. And I remember my mom said to me, she's like, isn't that for old people? I'm like, Mom, you're young and beautiful. The reason why we're planning today is because it would be inappropriate for me to decide what you want. So with that in mind, how do we help people? I know you answered this a little bit, but everyone wants the best care. But how do we help people access the best care for them?
Well, certainly, you know, they should get themselves an elder advocate or an advisor. You know, people plan, have retirement plans, but they always fail to include what's going to happen to them with their health and with their aging. So certainly they should get an advisor, not just a financial advisor on a retirement plan, but also an elder care advisor or an elder advocate. Certainly they should have good physicians. They should seek out good physicians. They should certainly, I suggest that people never get a Medicare Advantage plan, okay? Because there are a lot of pitfalls and a lot of things that can happen to them with those types of plans or HMOs. They should get themselves traditional Medicare and along with that, get themselves a supplemental policy. Certainly they should buy long-term care insurance if they can afford it. They should research long-term care options before they need it. They should assign a healthcare proxy to somebody who they trust. And certainly they should keep all their medical paperwork. When an elder goes from aging in place, you know, living life well, suddenly it could change, okay? You know, mom is having her friends over. They're playing poker. She goes into the kitchen for a bag of potato chips. She trips. Suddenly, it's a whole different life. It's a whole different ball game. So you have, like you told your mom and you did her a solid, you have to be prepared to get good care. You have to know things, learn things, research things. You have to be interested in it and you have to be prepared again.
Thank you for that, Jack. I think it's important to make sure our listeners and viewers understand why we know about my elder, but the term elder advocate. Can you explain what an elder advocate does and how an elder advocate can help families?
Okay, well, an elder advocate's responsibility is certainly to educate elders. It's to be there when things change, when there are transitions. It's somebody who, just like a legal advisor or a legal advocate or a financial advocate, okay, to walk them through the processes, to stand up for their rights and be there in whatever type of situation. So it requires experience and education, which many advocates have. They need a representative when they're in a situation that they are not familiar with, and they have an elder advocate. An elder advocate speaks a hospital's discharge planner, for instance, language, or they speak an administrator's language, and they know where the pitfalls are, what to sign, what not to sign. So it's basically just like a financial advisor or any type of person that advocates for the rights of elders or young people, whatever the situation might be.
Thank you for that. And I know part of protecting elders is against financial abuse and exploitation. So what are some ways in which we can protect our elders against financial abuse and exploitation?
Absolutely. The first thing is, I can't stress enough the importance of you having the proper legal paperwork. It's just like you have an accountant to make sure that your taxes are taken care of, or you have a doctor that takes care of your health. It's very, very important to have the paperwork, especially a power of attorney. Power of attorney will help you if somebody tries to file a guardianship or tries to take over your life, and you have a power of attorney which outlines what you want. That is most important. You should stay in touch and be in touch with people you trust, okay? You got to learn to recognize financial scams. I just received a call not a half hour ago from somebody who said to me, I am a medical advocate and I want to help you alleviate your pain, all right? Now, when I hear it, I'm used to it, but many elders, when they hear an authoritative voice, they jump, they think it's real. Certainly they should get things like identity theft, credit card protection, okay? They should never sign a document, certainly never sign a document unless they know or they've had somebody that advises them, hey, you could sign this document. Okay, people should realize that the IRS or the Social Security Administration or large companies like Amazon, they don't call people, okay? They communicate in other ways. So if somebody's calling you and say, I'm here from Amazon, I'm calling you from Amazon and your Amazon account has been compromised, so give me your information, hang it up, because Amazon does not call people. These and other protections, I mean, there are dozens, and no one can really know every single scam. But if they have an advisor, if they have an elder advocate, or they have an attorney, call and check, is this possible? I received a call a couple of weeks ago that my Social Security has been canceled, okay? Now, the Social Security Administration does not cancel, but when you're elderly, and you hear this, oh my God, what do I have to do? Oh, just give me a credit card. And guardianship abuse, just a quick thing with guardianship, and then we can move on. If anybody wants to really see the insidiousness of guardianship, and I've gone through hundreds of those things, it's horrifying, okay? They should Google John Oliver plus guardianship. In 10 minutes, they will know how to protect themselves because they'll know what guardianship. Guardianships are worse than identity theft. With identity theft, you do have a chance of getting back your identity. With guardianship, never. You'll never get your identity back.
Now, this is really important to discuss. And unfortunately, my daughter, my older daughter, that is, because I have two daughters and a son, was saying, this is horrible. We really should discuss a scam a day. And I said, you know, by the time we discuss that scam, another scam will come along. But it's really unfortunate that there are people who are taking advantage of our most vulnerable members of our community. So you can talk a little bit more about guardianships and how dangerous they are. So back to you, Jack.
It is guardianships, I mean, is, you know, if somebody realizes that you have money and assets, okay, they will do all types of things to get you into a guardianship. You have to understand, it's not just the attorneys, it's the attorneys, it's even adult protective services, okay? It's the courts. It's all not a conspiracy, but it's all connected so that people make money. People will get a hold of your become guardians, and then they have control of your money, your life, every single aspect of your life. And what they'll do is they'll appoint a guardian, but they don't want to be busy with you. They'll stick you into a nursing home and you're a prisoner in that nursing home and you'll never get out. So I hate to scare people, but this is the way it is. They completely take over your lives. And there are people who are looking to do that to the most vulnerable. I know a case where somebody called an APS because somebody, a neighbor, wasn't feeling well. Okay, the APS came in, they rushed them to the hospital. The hospital immediately went for a guardianship. A guardian was appointed. They took his house, they took his money, they put him on Medicaid, and he's been fighting. He and I have been fighting. Even I can't do anything about guardianship once it's in the courts. So it's not true that they just look for rich people. They also look for poor people because they get fees on whatever they do in a guardianship. I mean, so it's, if they go to that John Oliver, they'll get a really good idea about the insidiousness. So it's very important that they protect themselves legally and with their kids and discuss it with their kids and tell their kids, here, I got money here, and I'll go to a financial advisor. How do I make sure that my money is safe and nobody can attach it if they get a guardianship? So.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And it's like my dad said, just because you don't talk about something does not mean that the problem exists. And just because you talk about it doesn't mean you're creating a problem. So as we close out our program, do you have a website or social media handles where people can reach out to you and follow your work?
Absolutely. Our website is www.myelder.com. And I really advise people to read my blog on a regular basis. It's myelder.com. And then they can click on the blog. It has a lot of valuable information for people. Of course, it doesn't cost any money to subscribe or anything like that. They should certainly check that out. Phone number 212-945-7550. People can call me anytime they have a question. Free of charge, no fee. I love giving people information. If they have a situation and they have a question, please call me before you do anything. Don't call me when a guardianship is in court. If you don't have that guardianship, I can help you get it out of the situation so you don't go with the guardianship, you know? And certainly people have to be aware. And if they're not aware, they have to ask. Don't be afraid to ask, because the question, the only stupid question in the world is a question not asked.
No, I'm with you. And then before I turn it back to Hope, I just wanted to say, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of courage.
Correct.
So, yep. So Hope, back to you.
Thank you. Thank you both for that beautiful conversation. Jack, we're going to absolutely send people to your website, and you offer amazing advice. We'll also come up with that checklist, Rita and I, so that we can spread the awareness and advice. Of course, ask questions.
I appreciate that.
That's the first tenet of being a journalist, right? There is no dumb question. So I think it's true for everyone. So this is Friday's episode, September 17th. Rita, next week on the 24th at 5 p.m., you'll be interviewing award-winning personal finance journalist Cameron Huddleston, who is the author of a book called Mom and Dad, We Need to Talk. So tell us a little bit about her.
So you all know that the topic of aging parents being sandwiched is near and dear to my heart. Cameron is actually going to talk about her book and her experience caregiving for her mom who had Alzheimer's. So we are continuing this conversation because lots of people need help and we want to be there to help people.
And Rita, you're excellent at that. So thank you, Jack Halpern, myelder.com, Rita Chang. I'm Hope Gibbs with Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV. Thank you so much for joining us today on Facebook Live. We'll see you next week at 5 p.m. Eastern. Have a great week.